Wow. Every Sunday, church, let's bring that A game. Let's worship our God who deserves all of our praise. Thank you so much, worship team. Thank you. And thank you, God's people, for lifting your voice in song. It's absolutely beautiful and powerful. Wow. The Lord is so good. Well, let me say, I began as a student pastor when I first got into ministry, and so I got $5 on the high schoolers. All right. Josh, the high schoolers are going to get you, so I got $5 on them in the change wars. That's exciting to see. Well, we're in week two of a new series called Family Values, and this week we get the joy of talking about parenting and grandparenting and children. And what does the Word have to say about that? If you're new with us, again, this is kind of more of a topical sermon, so I'll bounce around to a couple of scriptures. But from God's Word, we got a lot to learn today. Before we do that, let's jump into our Bible affirmation. It'll be on the screen if you care to join in with us. It says this: this is God's Word. I want to know it. I want to love it. I want to learn from it. I want to live it. Lord, let me hear from you today. Amen. And amen. Well, again, the direction of this series, the family values, build on what lies. My goal has been to naturally push us to be people that look merely beyond the status or having a family. All those things are good. But becoming people who reflect Christ in whatever season we are in. And in that, last week we talked about marriage. And this week we now embrace on beautiful, beautiful children and grandchildren, or maybe those who aren't biologically yours, but call you auntie or uncle or pastor or mom, or hey, Mr. Man on the street, you got a popsicle. That's often what I get called in the summertime, Harvey's dad with popsicles. And the influence and the joy that we get to have in parenting. But here's some of my favorite memes. We'll put some on the screen about parenting, because this is true. This is before you had kids, you leave the house with your phone and your keys, and then when you have a family, you put the whole world on your back, right? Don't forget the favorite blanket and the toy and the 13 snacks and the chocolate milk and the picture of grandma, because all of a sudden they want to see grandma. Like, that is life in parenting. Or go to the next one. Or silence is golden unless you have a toddler. In that case, it is very, very suspicious. And for those of us who have little kids now, we're like, amen. For those of you who are out of that stage, you're like, yep, I remember that. And you also say, amen. That stage is gone. Let's go to the next one. Oh, I love this. When a parent gets sick enough to need meds, the doctor should also prescribe a tranquilizer dart for her family so she or he can actually rest. Ain't that the truth? We experienced that this week. We got back from vacation. Everyone had a head cold. I had to deal with everyone. And then, of course, Daddy gets it. And yeah, I wish I had tranquilized. And then let's see. Oh, I see your toddler tantrum and raise you with a teenager who his or her phone is taken away. Or Xbox, or keys, for those who are driving. I hate it when the keys got taken away, and I had to be home by 10 p.m. Like, that was a gut punch. I was no longer cool. And then the last one, the favorite one here, parent life skill is you just got to learn to pivot. And if you don't know the show, it's a great show for you to begin watching. You just have to learn to pivot. This is parenting. This is some jokes and some laughter, but many of you, like I, have learned a couple things about parenting or grandparenting. And here's the truth about it. Parenting is hard. Parenting is also fun. Parenting is confusing. Parenting is also exciting. Parenting sometimes can feel very mundane and rehearsed and in the regular, and sometimes that is all in one afternoon. Parenting is like taming tornadoes in different seasons. Parenting is easy sometimes. Not often, but there's some days where you're like, man, that was a good parenting day. Parenting is frustrating sometimes, more often. Parenting is wonderful. Parenting is sanctifying And it is the grounds in which we learn to turn our worry into prayer for the gifts God has given us. And what at the end we learn from parenting, or we can learn from parenting or grandparenting, the season you're in, God is good even in all of that. Amen. And our heart should be is to thank God for our children or your grandchildren or for those who call you or see you as a mother or father figure in their life. So today, however your household is wired, or however your situation may be, a parent, a grandparent, a spiritual parent, or someone who has walked a child through life in a hard season, I want us to rethink this one question in our time together. Well, what are we actually building? Or what are we actually training? My children, all of them absolutely love Legos. And every child of mine have multiple sets of Legos, and you dump them out on the floor, on the table, right? And at that point, there's hundreds or thousands of pieces, and there's a booklet of instructions. And the kid sometimes often want to skip to immediate step 47 to where the spaceship have wings. And you sit down together, and you sort them out by color or by size or whatever system you use for a 5 or 6 or 8 year old on the spot. And at that point, you see a kid take a piece of the Legos that's supposed to go on the wing, and they put it into the cockpit, and they think this is the way it should go, instead of building it the way of the booklet. And at that moment, you have a choice to make. The urge to say, hey, that's not how it goes. And the deeper instinct says, this isn't really about the model on the box. I just kind of want you to do it my way so I can be done. And in that moment, here's what I want our time to look at. There are three frames that you head into when your parent, your children, or your grandchildren. Number one is the frame of love. Like the reason why you sit on the floor, and maybe it's not Legos for you all. Maybe it's cooking, or maybe it's makeup, or maybe it's shopping, or maybe it's tinkering around with the cars or going through old stuff. The reason why you do that is because you absolutely love them. You want to spend time with them. The reason why you join into an activity with them, this pieces with your child, because at one point at time, as you go through step by step, you know what you call that? Training. You are training them to follow a step, training them to follow some sense of order. And then lastly, what you leave when you get done is an absolute powerful legacy, because something will still be standing, or something will taste so good when all the pieces have clicked together and you're on your last piece. You get to do that as a parent. And then with the joy of Legos or something small, you accidentally step on one, and then you want to kick their blessed assurance. But before anything else, before a single brick gets sorted, you immediately start out with this sense of how much you love them. And love starts with the right view of what and who you are building. It's in Psalm number 27. We're going to get to Proverbs in a little bit. Psalm number 127. Let me read this for our reading, and then we'll talk about this and jump to Proverbs. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it in labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest. Isn't that true about parenting? You're eating the bread of anxious toil, and he gives you to his beloved sleep. Here's the key verse. You've probably have heard this many a times, especially at a child dedication or maybe at a birth. Behold, children are a heritage or a gift from the Lord, a fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with him. He shall not be put to shame. And when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. This beautiful picture, a lot of metaphors here. But in the middle, God had instructed the psalmist to write the joy of children. At the beginning of this, this is not achievement. This is not a sense of possession. This is a gift. Parenting and children are a gift. And the words matter. How we see them matter. And friends, we often sometimes, maybe in our humanistic ways here on earth, get parenting wrong because we think they are ours. And for a season, you are a steward over them. Just like our money, just like our material things, your children belong to the Lord. Your grandchildren belong to the Lord. Your job belongs to the Lord. Your wisdom belongs to the Lord. And unless you build your house upon it, this is not a project of parenting you try to optimize. This is not a resume line. This is not an extension of your unfinished dreams. No, God's word gives us a better one. And whether your family looks like parenting, raising littles, or grandparenting watching from the front row, or a church family who are loving on our childlike figures, God has put you in their path, and you have been commissioned, hear me, you have been commissioned to raise them to know Jesus and to walk with him. You don't own them. You're a steward. And the beautiful thing, God has simply loaned us our children. He's loaned us these little Lego bricks that we get to train and build and eventually launch out into the deep. I love how the psalmist says, children someday are going to be like an arrow who are in a bow and arrow that you are eventually going to release. And when you release an arrow, you're not just aimlessly shooting somewhere. You are shooting at a target. Which means, as a parent, we also are trained. We also are learning. So that when we release that arrow, that children, that child, into the world, we know that we are sending them out because we've done our very best. We've trusted the Lord. We've walked through the hard seasons of tantrums, of teenage years, of college years, of adulthood, of wondering what's next. And what is strange is that these wonderful children, they're actually pretty cool kids. Because here's what we can say about children, and this is just the imago Dei of God, is children are actually gifted. They're very talented. They're very creative, especially when they paste it on your walls. They're unique. They are special. How could you take the car and jump the curb like that? How could you hit the garage? Like, that's a unique way. Right? They are unique. They are special. They are at times curious. And they are watchful, soaking up everything you see, you do and say. They are sometimes absolutely bashful. When we ask the question, you're normally not like this. And there's times where they are absolutely outgoing and you're like, please calm down. They are loving. And that at times, unwilling to give up what they love the most. They're cute. They are adorable. They are cuddly. We've all had that that emotion. Come on, where you've walked through baby pictures on your phone or in your album, and you've seen your child or your grandchild, and it brought back this beautiful. You remember when you had all the hair or you had no hair? Or you used to love to wear this dress over and over, or these shoes over and over, or how you always slept with the same action figure every night. Like, they are cute and cuddly and adorable. They're also fierce. They're courageous. Yet, they have a need to be comforted, and they need the nearness of a loved one or a parent. And then they learn to be dependent. And then they are independent. They are smart. And kids are always learning, and here is what we get to do. They are both now and the next leaders who will contribute to the society in our world. That's the gift God has given us, let me remind you. It's the absolute joy. And then you have to realize, here's what they are at best, just like we are, sinners, sinners, sinners. And this is why God has made them cute, so we do not kill them. And yet, no matter how old they are, no matter what stage they are in, forever your babies they will be. Right? Children, one commentator says it best this way, children are real people. We should never underestimate their intelligence nor their capabilities. We should also never overestimate their adaptability or their self-sufficiency. They really have the same needs and desires that all of us do, just put in a simpler package. And this is why love. Before there is anything else, it is you love them and you know them. You are not just managing them, parents. You are knowing them. You are, here's what I called in my time of student ministry that I was tell parents oftentimes in counseling when they were going through a season. Have you entered into their world? Have you admonished them and encouraged them? Have you seen what gets them going and what excites them? Have you seen their strength and their weaknesses? Have you entered into their world instead of trying to manage them from a distance? That means this is our job. This is our calling for those of us who are parents. It takes showing up again after again, again and again. Loving them where they actually are instead of wishing they would arrive and hurry up to the place you want them to be. This is you stoking the flames of their faith and their wonder and having honest and real emotions, the refusal to believe that anything is impossible. Matter of fact, I love what Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 18, verse 3. Jesus did not tell us just to tolerate childlikeness. You know what he said? To become like it, especially in our faith and our wonder of those who walk in him. He says, become like it. And maybe the most loving thing you can do all week is to get down on the floor, and let's use floor as a figurative floor. For some of us with young kids, it is literally getting on the floor and playing with them. But maybe the most loving thing you can do is get down on the floor and enter into their world instead of demanding them to climb up into yours. See their life, hear their stories, hear their passions. Why? Because you are training them for something good and godly. You are launching them out. And so here's a practical step. Love simply doesn't mainly show up in the big performance moments, right? Like the perfect Christmas where everyone walks downstairs and everyone has 30 gifts that is wrapped in their favorite wrapping paper. I will say that is a strong parent achievement. When the gifts are wrapped tight. But that's not the perfect moment. It's not the flawless, disciplined speech. It is the show of your presence. And so maybe this week, maybe you find an uninterrupted stretch of time and you simply be in your child's or your grandparents or your grandchild's world on their terms with no agenda, just trying to get to know them better. Maybe you call them. I guess some of your grandparents are not here. Maybe they'll freak out if you just say, hey, Nana wants to talk to you for 15 minutes, just you alone. Or Papa wants to talk to you 15 minutes. Like, just enter into their world. Because here's the truth before we move to Proverbs. It's hard work either to raise children or have raised children or being a guardian or an involved parent, grandparent. Because the truth is, we cannot be with them 24/7. We are not with them every inch of their lives. We won't, here it is, parent, you won't be in the know always of their lives. With my little kids right now, I am in the know of everything. But I also recognize I won't be in the know all the time. And what can happen is parents can either, and this has been the pattern for years in parenting, you can over-shelter or you can under-shelter. And you got to find what works best for you and your family and your parenting style. Because here's what we do know is the world, the flesh, and the devil, as you can see, will demand all ages, all persons, all people to choose the path to walk. So parents, your children, or your grandchildren are a blessing. And sometimes it feels like we have to parent them a certain way. And maybe by the world standard, maybe to get the highest rating or the J.D. Power quality in parenting in order to obtain success. I think God's word has something to speak to that a little more. And there are some in the room. As we've even talked about parenting, even talked about marriage in last week, you've already raised your children. Your children have grown. They are gone. Others, we have grandparents who are at the stages and ages, and others who do not have children at all, or others who have a complicated journey with their child. God's word also speaks to that, so hang in there with me because we're going to talk about that season a little later. But in our time now, I want to move to rethink that question. What are we? Or how have you trained your child? It's in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. And it says this, train up a child in the way that he or she should go, And even when he is young, he will not depart from it. Now, from some of us already, that is a visceral response of, I hate this verse. Because if we are honest, this proverb has been hugely quoted and sometimes, most times, if we're honest, maybe misunderstood. It has become the slogan of parenting seminars. It has been referred to maybe the surefire promise that a divine reward for our toil and our sweat as parents. Where some will treat it like a spiritual vending machine. You insert godly training, you receive a guaranteed godly child. And at that point, young parents, we grab onto it and we build our entire hope on it. Where other parents, you may hear this and you feel this and you are crushed under it because you are wondering, where did maybe I go wrong with my son or my daughter? Is it proof that I failed somewhere back on page number one of the Legos instructions? But unfortunately, some interpretations of this verse miss both the genre of the proverb in general and the meaning of this proverb in particular. And it's getting the proverb wrong that leads to kind of a wrong-headed conclusions about parenting or training or seeing the heart of your children. Because what we know about Proverbs, they are general truths about the way the world normally works. Some of them are not specific promises that encompasses every possible situation. And to interpret Proverbs 22, verse 6, as a promise without exceptions is to misread the whole genre. Hear me. To read this and say, this is the promise that I am going to live without exceptions, it is to misread the whole genre of Proverbs. Because sometimes you will find children who are faithful to the Lord. They are more faithful than their parents. And in some cases, the good outcome did not depend on their parents' training. There's others. With the weight of this proverbs, you have seen go into full fruition, and you thank God for that. With the weight of this proverb, first, as a parent who wants to see their kids love God and love others well. Who cares what their future looks like with jobs and career? I know you want them to win there too, but that is the two priorities, that they love God and that they love others. I pray for my children every day, every night, like many of you, and since they were young, it was the line in prayer we always used. Lord, at the age of understanding, will you come into their hearts so that they may know and love you? Maybe that prayer still needs to be prayed today for some of us. That at the age of understanding, will they come to know and love you? Like, that is the goal of parenting and grandparenting. So here's a couple lessons that you and I, as much as we train our child, I think we also have to learn that we also have some training involved. Here's some training for you and I, for those of you who are parents, grandparents, or a godly person in life, is we have to train them by being a godly example. We have to train them by being a godly example. You've heard this line oftentimes. Sometimes it is caught before it is taught. We got to train them to be a godly example. Like, we should say every day, I want to be a major part in training children to know, love, and worship God and the person who sent his son to rescue them from their sins. Like, you want to talk about a mission statement of your life? Fantastic book for you all to read if you have not. It's a book out there by Patrick Lencioni. Read it when we first got married. It's called Three Big Questions of a Frantic Family. He wonderfully puts in, as a family, this was not in my notes, but Father was right there, we have a mission statement. Like, what is your mission statement? That everything you do, whether it's sports or career or music or acting or whatever it may be, what is your mission statement there? And it begins with the three biggest questions of your life. And the one question you should always ask, do you want to be a part of this child coming to know about the Jesus who rescued us from our sins, who called us out of darkness into marvelous light? And this is when at home, this is at work, that you are involved in training your child or children in the way that should go. Proverbs says, train them, which means you teach them according to the way. That you live a life that is by an example. that this is having a godly life, not having a perfect parenting life. You hear that? This is having a godly life, not having a perfect parenting life, because we have got it wrong. I wish I had 100 days of parenting where I knocked it out the park. It was a moment. Talk about confession is good for the soul, bad for the reputation. Immediately after becoming a widower, overwhelmed decisions in the home, and it came down to a piece of toast, trying to get the kids out of the house for school, and all the weight felt like was on my shoulder. And it was parenting, and it was schedules, and we were already running late. And it came down to a piece of toast that threw Daddy over the edge. And I took that piece of toast, and I threw it on the table. This is what you are going to eat, and you are going to eat it now. You know, the one thing my son does not forget is the time I threw a piece of toast at him. I missed an opportunity to train with a godly example of being patient and being long-suffering. We don't get it right. Us as parents and grandparents and figuring out people's lives, he's not asking for a perfect life. He says, train them in the way of the path. Train them by having a what? Godly example. Not all the time will you get it right, but at the same time, Jesus is telling you that he will transform you, and as he's transforming you, it will show. And after all of this, we get a chance to teach our kids how to do good. And if we fail, we use those powerful words, hey, I'm sorry. We lead them into worship. We lead them in forgiveness. We lead them into realizing that there is one true God and he is truly good. And here's what we learn. We can never teach our children or our grandchildren virtues apart from the vine. It's impossible. If it's not connected to Christ, it will not bloom well. And so we should be creating homes and spaces and lives and cultures and systems where we put these practices and where they are seen in your home. Here's what it should be doing. Bible reading. Whether you do it in the morning, whether you do it at night, whether you do it at lunchtime, for those of you who do homeschooling or co-ops, whatever that system may look like, there should be a regular practice where your children see you reading the Bible and should be you inviting them to read it with you, or you reading it to them. Or grandparents, when you have them over, if they know we are going to grandma's house, whatever they call you guys these days, and we are going to have as much candy as we like, our parents are not going to be around. I mean, that's what burns me up about parenting. My children get away with stuff I never could get away with in the presence of grandparents. Had I done, oh man, I would have been grounded or in my room. But that's the joy of grandparents. But they also should say, wow, Papa and Meemaw, Grandma and Grandpa, we call them Abby and Papa in our family, deeply love the Lord and they deeply love each other. And they taught us. They told us a story from God's word. And we got to learn. It should be regular practice. It should be prayer and service. They should see you praying. They should see you serving one another and serving outside. There should be a sense of joyful songs. It doesn't mean you have to sing Christian songs all day long in your family. No, teach them a little Earth, Wind, and Fire every now and again. Teach them in Christ alone. Teach them what a friend we have in Jesus. Teach them it really is amazing grace. Like, let the joy of our salvation ring from even what we listen to and what we sing. We should have fellowshipping and community in strong, healthy faith group or faith community, meaning they should know, wow, we are going to church today. And I get it. Sometimes sports interfere with some of their activities, and that's a decision you will need to make and stand upon as a family. This is us training them and teaching them, though, because what we do in moderation, they oftentimes do in excess. And I would rather have children know, man, we're going to church. We're making Christ a staple in our family and our home. And someday, again, not a sure proof promise, that they walk away saying, man, I have been trained for all righteousness and godliness in Christ. Here's why I'm beating this over the head is because you train by being a godly example. Number two, godliness is the thing you want your children to model. Godliness is the thing you want your children to model. I'm going to blitz through a couple of scriptures. Again, being topical, I'm going to walk around. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7. The righteous who walks in integrity, blessed are his children after him. You are modeling godliness to your children. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. At the end of the day, all decisions we make in parenting and grandparenting is, am I fearing God? Is this honoring God? In that, the Lord will be pleased, and our children will have a safety. Go over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I know you guys don't mind scripture because we love God's word around here. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. And these are the words I command you today, should put on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. This is right after they got the greatest commandment. After this, he says, you should teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk about them when you sit in your house, and when you go walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, that they shall see the frontlets between your eyes. Where God's word teaches us, godliness is pretty serious for us training our children. It's a strong motto for you and I. And notice where the training actually happens. It's not primarily in the Sunday school lesson. We are grateful for that. The teaching happens in the home, or in close proximity, something that is done with intentionality, in the sitting, in the walking, in the laying down, in the waking up, in the ordinary building, in the one click at a time, in the packing of the lunch, in the rubbing of your spouse's back, in the sitting down at dinner. It's in the Bible reading, it's in the prayer, it's in the singing, it's in the family time. It's belonging to a healthy church family and giving to a church. You get the picture. We model godliness to our children, which means you and I have to be serious about it. Which means you and I, we have to do it in a biblical way, because yes, there are great doctors and teachers out there in child development. I do not discredit them at all. But let me give you the greatest child development book to train us and our children. And when it's done in a biblical, in a relevant way, I think there's some fantastic ways out there where studies have come a long way in giving us aid to parenting and grandparenting. But you know what that means? It's relational at the end of the day. It's a beautiful relational exchange that God has given us. And so we train them by being a godly example. We train them because godliness is a thing we want our children to model. And then we got to train them through knowing them. Meaning, we got to know their struggles, their joys, and eventually we got to know their heart. The scripture uses language that children are offspring of ours. They're a joy. For some would say, yep, they're a chip off the old block. But parents who have been taught, some would rather stifle and shut out any childish ways. Many would consider children to be inferior creatures like dogs or cats, to be ruled or to be pampered or made in the image of just dad and mom. And if we're true, the adults at that point would then insist that their children will act like good-natured adults and they should live without error and they should know everything they're supposed to do right up to the point of to get it done perfectly, so that their parents are not embarrassed. Let me tell you, if that's the way you are parenting, you're going to be frustrated. Can I go back to at the beginning? Because children are made in the imago Dei of God, means the image of God. They are real people with real needs and with real desires, just like you and I have. And so our goal is not to water hose them. Our goal is to cultivate them and throw seeds and water and blossom. And yes, when there's a moment of correction, you need to take the pruning shears and prune. Do not walk out of here and say, Pastor Tay said I can cut my child. You cannot cut your child or your grandchild. Well, there's a season where you have to be that vine dresser over the gifts God has given you. What does that take? You knowing them. The way I discipline my 8-year-old, I can't do that for my 5-year-old daughter. For my 5-year-old daughter, it's boxing gloves and a box of tissue. Strong, stubborn. Right? For my oldest, I can take everything away, and he's the perfect child. For my youngest, it's good luck. Because he's 3, right? Like, I know that. I spend time with them. It's knowing them. It's trying to give them the very best path forward as they walk with the Lord. And it will take several times of loving them where they are, not where you want them to be. It's going to take time to loving them where they are, not where you want them to be. Consider the qualities of a childlikeness exalted by Christ. All the qualities we have, but we seldomly use. Childlikeness means pure faith, the joy of discovery, the thirst for adventure and challenge, the tender trust, the honest emotions, the growth, where faith in children is so simple and profound. They can believe all sorts of fantastic things that are impossible, right? I mean, how many times our children or your children, grandparents say, I have power. I have freeze power. I have fire power. I have ultimate speed power, right? I mean, how many times is that happening in your home? It's not because their imaginations are easily lost or empty, but children have no trouble moving from the world of play and fairies and space invaders and dolls and the realities of baths and supper and clothing and nap. God has gifted them to think that way, and our job is to know them. In fact, the healthiest, most creative people come from childhoods where imaginative exercises have been encouraged and developed. So, here's a lesson for you and I, parents and grandparents. Take our training of children seriously. Because where we guide them and how we shepherd their hearts really matter. It's an absolute joy. So train them. Train them through what I like to call relational discipline. Discipline must be done out of love. When you get home, you can read Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 through 11. And here's what tends to happen. When we don't train them out of discipline with love, it becomes harsh and we provoke them to anger. Or we live in the sense of passivity. And friends, passivity is the enemy of discipline. Apathy and reclusivity, it's not going to get us anywhere. Go back to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs 19, 18. Discipline your son, for there is hope. Hallelujah. But do not set your heart, I love this, on putting him to death. You know what this means? That we are pulling out the best. We want God to use our sons, our daughters, our grandchildren, and sometimes going to take through some encouragement. Proverbs 29, 17. Discipline your son. Why is it always the boys? And he will give you rest. He will give you delight to your heart. Again, this is a principle that instructing our children or teaching them in the way, train up a child in the way, will at times require you train them through relational discipline, not through smiting them down to get in line. I love what Paul Tripp says. And then I'll wrap up with this. Paul Tripp says, I think it'd be in the spring, God places parents in the lives of their children, or you can say in the lives of their grandchildren, to achieve so much more than mere behavior modification. He places us in their lives to turn their little hearts toward a great Savior. Or their grown hearts at this point for some of you. They need to see and savor the same grace that saved their mommies and their daddies. That's why we train them by godly example. That's why we train them at walking in godliness. That's why we discipline them through relational discipline. We enjoy life with them. And this can't be achieved by trying to have the perfect children or thinking you're going to get it done through flawless parenting. No, the only way we win at parenting or grandparenting is going to be this. It is by receiving grace that God has given us and then living that out in the children we get to raise. And for some of you, this word matters the most because your child or your grandchild have found their sense of life maybe in a wandering path. They've walked away from the trainings that you have taught them. And you have tried over and over again at every dinner, as soon as you see them. Why? Where are you? What are you doing? Can I encourage you, parents, that the same grace you've been given when you've failed and when you walked away, found in Christ, is the same grace that they need? It's the same hope and encouragement that maybe will push them over the edge to say, now it makes sense. It does not mean that we beat them over the head. No, we live a life that Christ has shown to us. We now give to them. Think about it. In the same parable that we love with the father in Luke chapter 15, both of the sons needed some relational discipline. One son went to daddy and basically said, hey, man, you're dead to me. Give me my inheritance. I'm going out. I'm going to kick it. And he goes out and he loses it all, right? You know the story. And he begins to eat with the pigs. And he said, wait, how many servants does my father have that are living better than me? And what did the father do? The father didn't go searching, but the father had hope that this boy's life would change. And from afar off, right? It's a beautiful story. From afar off, he sees the son coming. And at that point, the father lifts up his dress and he begins to run to his son and he cleans him up. And then you have the other son who is absolutely jealous. Dad, I honored you in all of this. And yet you give this boy who ran away from our family, who you raised us up both in the same way, and you give him the fat calf and you give him a ring. And the father encourages him. Jealousy is not going to be the path forward. Treating him as if he does not deserve grace is not going to be the path forward. I've loved you both. You get the picture here is that this, the Father's love was always the anchor. The love of Jesus Christ will always be the anchor for every person in every season, in every generation, and in every unfinished life. We live in that beautiful same grace. And so here's what you do. You pray for your child by name. Or your children, or your grandchildren. Maybe you write them beautiful letters of what you hope their life will be and encourage them in the faith and spur them on and write great qualities and strengths about them that God has given them that you have not seen, and you do that genuinely because you pursue a relationship even when it's not returned to you. You love them with affection. You affirm them even in the days where you feel like giving up. And every parent says, yes, there are days where I want to throw in the towel. You hold on to hope, not the hope in your own parenting record, but that the hope in the Father who is still building, rebuilding, still pursuing, still patient, even with the prodigals. And then you say, man, at the end of the day, God has given me these gifts to send out. Eventually, as an arrow to go and make a big impact for Christ and his kingdom. Godly parenting isn't proof you're the greatest trainer in the room. It is proof that you have chosen to depend on the Spirit instead of your own performance. So let me close with this thought. Don't underestimate the Spirit's power to work through the environment you create for your home or your family, because I get some of your grandchildren out there. So love them. Drive them with all your heart and encourage them because you love them. See, the seasons of Lego building as times of training. And then know that you are leaving a rich legacy at the end of the day. That you are not leaving a perfect model, but where you are is legacy. It's what's still standing long after everything is finished. That is not a perfect model, but it is a life that has pointed their hearts to a great Savior. The greatest achievement we should have as parents and grandparents, or aunties and uncles, or church families, is that we have built children's and systems and hearts to know and love and serve Christ. I'll take that any day. I'll hang my hat on that any day. And so whatever season you're in, whether you are herding little tornadoes, or whether you already launched some out, or there is a desire to have children and you have none and you just do not understand and you are waiting still, or you gave that up, but God had placed people into your life. The Father who gave you this gift, know this, He is building this alongside with you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He already knows the path. He hasn't walked away from the table. Neither should you. So keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Spend time praying. Spend time investing into their lives. Man, you can leave them the fattest inheritance they ever seen. Can I tell you something? They're going to spend it on stupid things. Or you can leave them the greatest inheritance, that when seasons come, hard, good, they know their inheritance is God Himself. The one reason I have made it through with parenting my children now as a widower is because from the time they were little, we made it a goal to show them Christ. I don't know what 13 or 14 or 15 or 16 or 17 or 21 or 30 will look like. But what I do know is every day I'm up for the challenge. I'm commissioned by God to say, here's another day to learn of the goodness of God. Here's another day to instill another virtue to look like Christ. Can I tell you, that's an inheritance that never goes bankrupt. Are we committed to it? Can we do it together? Can we look into the future and say, man, our children and our church and our community will be better because we parent and we grandparent God's way, not by the world standard. Here's what I want you to do. If you have a child here in the room, I want you to go and get your child. So you're dismissed to run and get your child. I want you to bring him into the service. We're going to pray together as a church family. Okay? We're going to do that. So go get your children. We're going to sing a song. We're going to do this song. Maybe if you don't have a child in the room, I'm going to give you permission. FaceTime him. Call them, text them, do whatever you need to do. If your grandchildren are not here, I want you to get a picture on your phone, because we know grandparents have what? A lot of pictures. I want you to get a picture. I want you to open it up. Maybe your own children as well. College age, some of the college students are already gone. Maybe you try to FaceTime them, but we are going to surround this altar in prayer.